Ephesians 6, verses 5 and 6. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Again, we turn our attention to the Spirit-filled life. I would remind you that the Spirit of God wants to control every area of the lives that we live. Paul has already touched on our walk with God, our life of worship, our marriages, our parent-child relationships. In these verses, he focuses our thoughts on the master-slave relationship. It is estimated that in that time period when the scripture was written, the New Testament, there was as many as 50 million slaves in the Roman Empire. Slavery was a very common institution, and interestingly enough, slavery is never condemned in the Bible. While the Bible does not condemn slavery, it was a system that was filled with abuse. Since we are unfamiliar with the practice of slavery here in the West, I thought I'd share a few insights that I came across as I studied. In both Greek and Roman cultures, most slaves had no legal rights. They were treated as commercial commodities. Roman citizens came to look on work as beneath their dignity, and the entire empire gradually came to function largely by slave power. Slaves were bought, sold, traded, used, discarded as heartlessly as they were animals or tools. Consider masters such as Pliny the Elder, who was deeply grieved over the death of some of his slaves. That was exceptional. One Roman writer divided agricultural instruments into three classes: the articulate, who were slaves, the inarticulate, which were animals, and the mute, which were tools and vehicles. A slave's only distinction above animals or tools was that he could speak. The Roman statesman Cato said, "Old slaves should be thrown on a dump, and when a slave is ill, do not feed him anything. It is not worth your money. Take sick slaves and throw them away because they are nothing but inefficient tools." What an attitude towards men and women that are made in the image of God. Augustus crucified a slave who accidentally killed his pet quail. And a man named Pollio threw a slave into a pond of deadly eels for breaking a crystal goblet. One person wrote of a slave owner whose greatest pleasure was listening to the sweet song of his slaves being flogged. Humanity at its finest. The preacher being sarcastic. Since the system of slavery was so filled with abuse, God instructed Paul to lay down the Lord's commands to both slaves and their masters. We want to look at those instructions for a few minutes today and in our next study. We don't have slaves here in the West. Thankfully, that institution has been outlawed in our nation and many other nations in the West. The closest we can come to the master-slave relationship is the relationship between employers and employees. The principles that Paul gave to masters and slaves years ago, they apply to us today. There's a word here for each of us. And if we receive it, that's the question. Let's look at these verses and consider a Spirit-filled service. Spirit-filled service. In verses 5 to 7 of Ephesians 6, we find the word servants. Servants, or bond servants, depending on which translation you have. The word always means a slave. Paul is talking to people who were owned by some master. They were bought, sold, beaten, put to death, all at the whim of a human master. As I said, thankfully, no one here listening to this message is a slave to man. However, many of you are still in the workforce. You have an employer. These verses tell us how we're supposed to relate to those who are over us in our vocation, in our secular work. In verse 5, we see how we are to submit. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Obedient. That word refers to one who waits for a command from the master and who then carries out that command. It was used of a porter who waited at the door for the sound of a knock so that the door could be opened immediately. It's a word that speaks of willing, expectant servant. Service. This kind of servant jumps at the sound of his master's voice and does what he's told to do without argument or complaint. If we would only be that way with our Lord and Savior. If we would only show that kind of obedience. The kind of obedience spoken of is to be carried out with fear and trembling. The idea of fear and trembling does not mean that we fear the people that we work for. It means that the godly servant strives. It is his pleasure to do what is right out of a fear of disobeying God. We'll talk more about that a little later on, but your work in the world is actually service to the Lord. You must always remember the little phrase, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord, brothers and sisters. Everything that we do in this world is service to the Lord. And it is supposed to be spirit-filled service to the Lord. We're to submit to those who are in authority over us in this world. And we're to serve them with singleness of heart as unto Christ. As unto the Lord. This phrase refers to wholehearted dedication. We're to yield ourselves to our employers, serving them as if they were the Lord. As if they were the Lord. And I'm not saying that this is easy. There's people who are hard to work for. They're mean-spirited, demanding, demeaning, and cruel. But as best as you can, we're to look past the person and their issues, and we're to set our eyes on the Lord and serve Him as we work here in this world, as unto the Lord. In verses 5 to 7 of Ephesians 6, we're to see how we are to serve. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity as part. As to Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, as unto the Lord. According to the verses before us, your secular employment is just to be another means of serving the Lord. Verse 5 says, as unto Christ. Verse 6, he says, as servants of Christ. Verse 6, that we do the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, doing service as unto the Lord. This means that if the Lord has given you a job, and if you carry out the duties of that job to the glory of God, God will bless that work. God will bless that work. He will bless the plumber, just like He blesses the preacher. He'll bless the coal miner, the same as the missionary. He'll bless the truck driver, as well as the deacon. He'll bless all those who will serve Him and honor Him in the work that they do. The key to the Lord's blessing is to see your work as service to the Lord. The Lord has decreed whatever it is that you do. and he has commanded you to do it as unto the Lord. Your work is a service to the Lord and not to a person or to a business. Work as if you are working for the Lord. We're not to serve with eye service, as it says in the text. That phrase refers to serving to impress. It has the idea of working hard when they're looking, but dogging it, slack it off when they aren't. The Lord's will is that we give them a full day's work for a full day's pay. Even when the boss isn't looking, the Lord is. The text also says we're not to be men pleasers. That word speaks of those who are smooth talking, slick, sucking up to the boss, so to speak. It speaks of those who use flattery to advance on the job. And both of those actions are manifestations of the flesh. They speak of somebody who's walking in pride and who is actually serving themselves and not the Lord. Instead of seeking to promote ourselves, we should be in the business of serving the Lord. Look again at those phrases. As unto Christ, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of the Lord from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. All of these statements teach us that we are to see ourselves as slaves to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the scripture says in Romans that you were slaves to unrighteousness at one time. Now you're to be slaves of righteousness. Whatever it is you find yourself doing in this world, we are slaves to righteousness, slaves to the Lord first and foremost. When we go to our job, whatever it is, we are to look at our work as service to the Lord. Be it president, be it king, be it garbage man, be it dishwasher. We're to see ourselves as slaves of the Lord. We're to remember that we will answer to him when his life ends. If we work for him, if we please him, if our service rises to the level of pleasing him, certainly our employers will be pleased with our service as well. There's several ways that we can serve the Lord in this world. This applies to what we do on the job, to what we do in life, to what we do in church. Let me mention a few of the ways that we might serve him. We can serve him out of discipline. This is an attitude that says, I have to do it. This describes someone who feels compelled to serve the Lord. We can serve the Lord out of discipline. Also, we can serve him out of duty. This is an attitude that says, I ought to do it. This describes some who are convinced that one owes it to the Lord. Discipline, compelled to do it. Duty, owes, convinced that they owe it. And we can serve him also out of devotion. This is an attitude that says, I want to do it. Not I have to do it, I ought to do it, but I want to do it. This describes a person who is in love with the Lord. They are enraptured by the Lord. They serve him because they love him. This is the way our service ought to be. We serve him because he first loved us. That is why we serve him. John 14, verse 15 tells us this. If you love me, keep my commandments. I want to do it. We're to serve the Lord out of devotion. I want to do this message. I want to do this sermon because I love the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. So my attitude in doing this message should be one out of devotion that I want to do it. I want to do it. Not I ought to do it, or I have to do it. Well, I have to do it because I'm a preacher. No. Well, I ought to do it because it's the right thing to do. No. I want to do it out of love for Christ and love for the saints and love for the lost. Serving him out of devotion. We that serve the Lord like Joseph served Potiphar. Look at Genesis 39, verse 4. So Joseph found So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Joseph served Potiphar out of devotion to the Lord. He loved the Lord, so he served Potiphar. And Potiphar found, he showed him favor. Showed Joseph favor. Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. Service out of devotion. Also, look at Genesis 39:23. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. See? The Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Whatever you do, the Lord will cause it to prosper. Not necessarily materially, but spiritually. And many times, it's materially too. But the purpose that you're doing is as devotion as unto the Lord that you want to do it. And if it's material gain, well, that is fine. But it's always going to be spiritual gain, because you're following what the Lord has commanded us to do, brothers and sisters. We should want to serve like the serving girl served Nahum. Look at 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 4. Now Nahum, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given him victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Nahum went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." The servant girl served Nahum. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." That servant, that slave girl, she didn't have to say nothing. She didn't have to say nothing, but she was serving the Lord because she wanted to do it, because of devotion to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, that should be our attitude, one of devotion as unto the Lord. Whatever you would find your hands doing, whether we're serving the Lord directly or whether we serve him through our service to our employers, we're always to do it with the will of God from the heart. To the will of God from the heart. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with thy servants as men pleases, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That is what the Lord wants from us, brothers and sisters. Many of us, we need to change our attitude. We're just doing it out of a discipline. I got to do this. Others out of duty. Well, I ought to do it. But the Lord wants us to do it from the heart. I want to do it. I want to do it because I love Christ, because Christ first loved me. I want to do it. I want to obey him. And may we be found doing service as unto the Lord, doing the will of God from the heart. And if you would be listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, you have no idea what it means to be a servant of Jesus Christ. To be a servant, to be a slave of Christ, first of all, you must listen into what the Master says. and the master would say to you, come, come, you that are burdened, heavy laden, weighed down, come unto me, I'll give you rest. He would say to you, repent and believe. The scripture says, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life is in Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ. Slaves, be obedient to your masters. Not with thy service as men pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And may we be found, brothers and sisters, doing whatever we do as unto the Lord.